Welcome back, or welcome to the best golf podcast you're listening to right now. Because this golf podcast is going to answer one of the biggest questions, and it comes up all the time in golf media, sort of independent golf media, and that's important, online forums and all that sort of stuff. The question is, and it comes in various forms, but the answers all are the same. And most of them are bullshit. And I'm going to tick off like three of the big players about why they're bullshit. So the question is, if you were appointed king of golf, amateur and professional, what would you do? Now, I know that question comes up frequently, and I know that question brings up the same answers. So, number one answer you always get is something to do with slow play in the professional game. Now, let me tell you something. Unless you are a PGA or other serious tour pro, I call cow manure on that. Because, and let me explain why. Because your answer would be valid if you engaged with golf media 4 days, each of the 4 days of the tournament for 40 weeks a year. Because then you'd be like, the first guys on Thursday are out 7:30 a.m. The second round tees off. Last guy's off about 2, sometimes 3 p.m. You know, I'm online 12, 13, 14 hours a day keeping up with this vital sporting media. Now, if that's you, I think you work in golf media. And therefore, your answer, I'm sorry to say, is invalid because you're part of the problem and not part of the cure. You see, no one gives a shit about pro golf being slow, really, because chumps like me just watch it on TV. And so I may choose to watch a few hours of golf over a tournament. I don't because it bores the shit out of me. But I could do if the PGA Tour or golf industry made it easier to do. You don't, so I struggle. But if I did, I'd tune in. This is what I think a Joe golfer would do, who's got a 9-to-5 job, two wives and a kid. No. A wife and two kids, and he wants to squeeze in 18 on a Saturday morning with his mates. Like as if there's a fucking train driving by me. Yeah, I'm just flicking the bird at the crane driver. And now there's some sort of shipping container come house, which I guess the crane is part of the delivery. I'm making this out sound like there's a film crew here, right? It's not. There's some shithole crane that looks like Scotty Cameron putter that's been left out in the rain because it's shit. And the container looks like something that, someone who hangs around in Facebook groups in golf would live in. Anyway, they've gone now. Where was I? So I was talking about how people consume golf media. So you've got a wife and two kids, or the other way around. You want to squeeze in 18 holes with your buddies on Saturday morning, and then you've got to pay your dues to the wife on Sunday by at least pretending to give a shit about your family and your family responsibilities. I jest, of course. But that's basically the timeline most guys who are in golf have. So let's say he's going to squeeze in an hour at most watching a golf game on Thursday. Maybe that would be in little 10-minute chunks. You know, he's having a cigarette outside his office and would be able to watch it on his phone. he's sat at his desk having his lunch and he flicks on golf for 10 minutes, quarter of an hour. And then maybe in the evening, if he's so inclined, he could flick on Golf TV, TV Golf, Channel 1 Golf, Golf Skynet channel. You know what I mean? He puts golf on TV for half an hour to see how his favourite Tiger Woods player did. And that's fine. Like, that's normal. Thursday, Friday, that's going to happen. Saturday, what he's going to want to do, he goes out with the boys Saturday morning, bangs out a rock solid 88. Okay? He comes in, 3 over net. He's had a couple of scoops. He's in his sensible Uber home. And what he does is he puts in his headphones in the back of the taxi and wants to just see what's happening in the golf on the way home. As soon as he's home, head down, his dad, he's, you know, giving bubble baths, watching Frozen, and, you know, teaching the kids how to play chess, all those wholesome things as dads do. Sunday, he's straight up and at it, you know, Frozen, Hello Kitty, Nexo Knights Lego, all that shit, banging. But kids get worn out by 3 o'clock. They're asleep, so he flicks on golf. He wants to watch it while kids have a sleep, he chills out. Then kids wake up, bang out again. Dinner time, he's in the good books because he's just been straight up Play-Doh now for about, you know, 36 hours. The wife loves him. So he's like, honey, you know, while the kids eat their dinner, do you mind if I just watch the last few holes of the golf? Because, you know, Bronson Begoon was winning, and you know how I love him, Bronson. He's a very famous golfer. And she says, of course, darling. He wants to go down, flick the TV on, and watch the game. Wrap up in the evening while the kids eat. Or while the missus has a bath on a Sunday evening. Whatevs. Okay, that's the reality of how Joe Public consumes golf. In between that, he's shooting the shit with people like me over how crap Jason Day is on Twitter or Facebook. So, that's that. That's the model. But you see, golf, the industry, doesn't really facilitate that. Sorry, I jumped ahead. Now, golf, the industry, lets him do that. But it doesn't matter how long these guys are taking to play golf. If he's watching the guy wrap up his game at 6 p.m. on a Sunday while the kids are having TV, not a flying fuck is given about what time these guys teed off. No one gives a shit. You just want to watch Bronson Begoon flip a 60-degree wedge down 17, pull it back 10 feet, roll in the birdie, high five his caddy, smoke a drive down 18, shank one, pitch out, roll in a good putt for par, take home the $1 million trophy, goes home, bangs prostitutes. Sorry, Bronson, that's libelous. I don't know if you do that. But the idea is you want your golfer to be a celebrity who hits the ball a long way and does things like a rock star. I've talked about this before. So any comment about Bronson Begoon is just fictitious and made up to make people laugh. And I can hear nobody laughing. That's because I'm not funny. Anyway, once again, another digression. But the time Bronson teed off doesn't matter. No one cares about slow play on TV unless golf media tells them to care about slow play. Now, in the amateur game, slow play is less of an issue because shit golfers are slow because they're shit. Not because they're taking too long to, you know, line up a putt or anything like that. A guy shooting 100 over 18 holes takes fucking ages to play golf because he's shooting 100, not because he's, you know, taking too long to play. There might be a middle ground of a guy shooting 80 who's watched Alex Noren play and he's trying to do that weird little side wank maneuver that he does to groove his move or whatever. But generally, slow play is not so much of an issue in the amateur game. people make out it is, but let me tell you the secret. I can fix slow play with one easy move. I can reduce game times to an average of 2 hours, and that's allowing the customer to stay on course long enough to buy a couple of beers. What you do is you make your Saturday morning competition 9 holes.
And you're, oh no, that's terrible, because in my lifetime when I was a lad, I played 32 holes.
And yeah, fuck it, no one gives a shit, right? Here's the reality. No one's got time to get on property, as twats in golf like to say, get to the golf course, spend 10 minutes in the pro shop looking at golf clubs you don't need, buy a bacon sandwich, roll a few putts, do a few practice swings, hit the first tee, play 18. You've got to have a few beers while you're on the track, because if you don't buy drinks on the golf course, golf course is going to close, because that's where they make their money. Okay, you come off the golf course, you're really obliged to have lunch as well, because you've got to support that catering franchise, because really, if you don't buy lunch there, no other fucker's going to pay for that shit overpriced food. Now once you've had lunch, you've had a couple now, you might be drunk enough to buy something in the pro shop. Again, that fat fuck in the pro shop spent 4 years to learn to fold them polo shirts. You better buy one now and again. Don't get on eBay and get the same shit for half the price. He's got a badge. Okay? And you've got a responsibility to keep that fat fuck's kids in private education. I say this as a professional golfer who has trained and could do with losing a few pounds. How about this for a format for your regular Saturday morning tournament? Okay, so this is for a members club. Normally, you have a token gesture entry free for an 18-hole competition. We're going to call that $10. Everyone gets, you know, some prizes, birdie prizes, a few, long drive, all of that stuff from that $10. Fine, I'm all for it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to treble that. I'm going to make that a $30 entry once a month. Okay, if you roll up on a Friday and say, hey, can I enter the monthly medal tomorrow? The pro's going to say, sure you can, I got space. At 8:05 for you to tee off, that'll be $30. Turn up early, come as early as you can. The earlier you get here, the more fun you have. We're laying on breakfast from 6. I'm going to be on the range just after then, and I'm going to be giving out tips. You know, I'm not going to rebuild your game. I'm just going to say, hey, Johnny Joe, your swing's looking great today. Just think about keeping it smooth, man. You know, on the way back, say Severino, and on the way through, say Ballesteros. Repeat with me. A couple of practice swings. Severino, Ballesteros. You're looking fucking great today, mate. You're going to go low. That's what club pro... Oh, my dog's going nuts. Hey, dogfight live. Assistant pro. Come on, Amber. You can't bark at the competition. That dog's fucking huge as well. She'd have eaten you. You were a snack to that beast. Man, it's like Porter versus John all over again. Anyway, $30. You get there, you have breakfast, a couple of tips with the pro in the morning. Okay, you go and tee off. You play 9 holes, you go fucking low. Okay, on whatever hole is conveniently located, there's a lady on there. She gives you a can of beer, or a cup of coffee, or a can of Diet Coke. That'd be my preference. She gives you a can of Diet Coke and says, I hope you're playing well today. She hands it to you. It's free. You're feeling great about yourself now. You're 6 under par through 5. You've just been given a free drink and you had a free golf lesson. How great is life today? You round off the round with 3 straight 8s. You feel like shit. You come off, you get to the clubhouse. They've got a burger waiting for you with your name on it. and I mean with your name on it. Because when you're ordering breakfast, they ask you what you wanted to eat after you play. You just have a quick snack. You don't need lunch because it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. You just have some food, okay? They got sodas and some cheap beer there if you want it. Okay, your club pro's back in there. He's in the clubhouse and said, hey man, I noticed while you're on the range today, that driver of yours is from 1998. I think it might be time to change that. You go, well, look, Fat Phil the pro, I don't really want to change my drive. And he goes, no worries, man, I understand that completely. But look, I can throw a new grip on that for 10 bucks for you. I'll take it off your hands right now, pick it up on your way to the car. And you go, do you know what? I'm drunk. I played like shit today. But I wouldn't mind a new grip on my driver. So yeah, I'll take you up on that offer. Okay? While he's re-gripping your driver, club captain's hanging out the prizes for those successfully who made around 9 holes in less than 50. You leave feeling a better person and your golf club has made some money. You're home by midday, 1 p.m. The missus thinks you're amazing. You come home well fed, only smelling lightly of alcohol, and you can tell her how you did not waste money on a new golf club at the shop today, but how you repaired your old golf club at a discount rate because kindly Fat Phil the pro, we had a special offer on new grips. And then it's straight into playing Lego with the kids. And that's how you speed up play in golf. That model would make golf more profitable, easier to access, and more fun. And all you've done is change your fucking attitude about nine-hole golf. Okay? That's all you had to do. Sure, your club championship can be 18, it can be 36, it can be 72, it can be 144 for all I care, but just make your regular games 9 holes. Charge people more money, but give them a better experience. Okay? People will pay 30 bucks once a month for a really fun golf competition on top of their monthly dues. But here's another tip. This is a tip from the ski slopes. Don't charge them 30 bucks. Charge them 20 bucks. What you say, guy, you're crazy. You've been smoking heroin whilst your dog's been having a fight. No, I haven't been smoking heroin or any narcotic or taking it in any way. What you can do here, you see, is you charge people just $20 when the list price is 30, but you roll that $20 into their monthly subs. Okay, if your golf club has that sort of membership model where you pay X thou to join and then a monthly service fee or subscription. You know, however you take that money, you give them a discount. And you say, if you pay as part of your monthly, it's only 20 bucks. You save 10 bucks a month on your monthly competition. And you can play every month. You've got to make sure you're still making money on that as a golf club. Of course you do. But not everyone is going to play all 12 of those competitions they're entitled to. And you're going to make your money back. And you have a happier membership. And think about what you've given away in that 20 ducks, $20. What you've given away is 2, possibly 3 cans of cheap beer. Cost in a supermarket, not wholesale, $3. Okay? Or Diet Coke or cups of coffee. $3 max. 2 sandwiches. Let's generously say $1.50 each. Now let's say $2 each. So you're on $4 plus $3, $7 in catering. Okay, leaving you a very conservative $13 per head profit. Okay, your golf pro could actually, if he wanted to, take $3 per head for his session. Now, if you've got 50 people playing in that game, he's going to be very happy. Whether he takes that in cash or it just feeds into his budget or pays his lazy ass's salary, That's a matter for you and your club secretary to discuss with your pro. You've then got that $10 you were originally going to charge your member to play. But now they're only playing 9 holes. But they're getting so much more for their time and their money and their energy. They're happy. So happy that they might recommend coming for lunch with their friends at the golf course. They might actually buy something in the pro shop because your club pro isn't trying to rinse every penny he can out of the members on a Saturday because he's already made his money. So he's happy to throw a few free or cheap grips on clubs just as an act of service. The club pro's also not stupid. He knows if he just gives someone a 2-minute tip, there's a good chance they'll book a lesson. Now, I could talk some more about the salary model of the local club pro. We'll save that for another time. Okay, so that's pretty much the main thing I would do for amateur golf is I would change it from an 18-hole norm to a 9-hole norm. Now, listen to this dreamer. In pro golf, I would make it more like amateur golf is right now.
What do you mean, ginger man?
Let me tell you what I mean, 21 minutes into the podcast. I'd make it more fun. Fun golf that we're presented now as amateur golfers. And I'm somewhere between pro and amateur. But I'm a normal golfer. And I love normal golf. Okay? I love scrambles. I love doubles competitions. I love match play. I love it all. Big reason for that. Sometimes the pressure of playing 18 holes medal play, not like crying over a 4-footer pressure, it's just like sometimes I want to play golf competitively with zero consequences if I fuck it up. Like as a pro golfer, it feels like I have a lot of consequences if I fuck up. Because previously I was always playing with students, clients, corporate clients. Like I had to shoot par or they thought I was a cock. Scott Porter, case in point. I've not always shot par. There's records online of when I didn't. And guess what? People call me out on that for being a dick. Do you know what? They're right, but they also get blocked on social media for that because I don't need your shit in my life. So that's what I do. Okay, guys? I'd like to see the PGA Tour with scrambles, with match play, with doubles events, like one a month. Skins games, celebrity games. Okay? Not just crowbar in a generic NFL player or retired NFL player, but actually let's get them on TV on Sunday afternoon. Let's see Michael Jordan sweating over a 6-footer to win $1 million with Jordan Spieth at his side. That's the sort of shit I want to see my celebrity doing. I want to see one of the chicks who used to be in Charlie's Angels, the Millennium version, Lucy Liu, she's on my mind. I want to see her starting playing golf. She's playing off 36. I want to see her alongside Long John Daly. Okay? Friday evening. Lucy Liu's got to roll in an 8-footer. She plays off 36 for Long John Daly to make the cut and buy next week's alcohol. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's the sort of golf I want to see. And you're saying, you might think, Guy, you're turning golf into a joke. Now, let's be serious, okay? Golf already is a fucking joke, okay? Do you know what some of the key stories in golf are at the moment? Well, you might do. I don't give a fuck anymore. So I don't follow them. But let me tell you what some of the key stories have been. Like some of the narratives the PGA Tour media has chosen for us to follow. These are the key ones that stand out. One of the golfers can slam dunk. Another of the golfers is friends with another golfer and has been for a long time, and there's a photo of them eating a sandwich together. These are your narratives. Tiger Woods, separate. That's a fucking narrative. But there's only one of him, okay? Everything else is shit. All the other narratives don't count. And you know what? Any of the other interesting narratives, they bury. Justin Thomas is a prick. But he's really cool and he dresses amazingly. And he's fucking good at golf on his day. But they don't show any of that because it's marketing by committee and it's slightly too edgy. So they just show the fact that he really likes his new Scotty Cameron putter. Or that he's friends with Jordan Spieth. Gosh, guys, that's it. Do you know what? Ricky Fowler sometimes rides a motorbike. Probably rides a motorbike more often than he wins a fucking golf tournament, man. Honestly, what are the narratives? What are the narratives? Rory McIlroy is Irish. That's it. He gives more interesting press conferences than everyone else. But let's be honest, even them are fucking shit. Now that leads me on to something else, right? So how you make golf more fun is force these boring fuckers to have more fun on TV. Like, force them to. And if they don't like it, they can go and get jobs as consultants for Ernst & Young. Okay, they can have a truly boring job that pays loads of money. Right, here's something else I'd change. Golf media. Do you know what? I'm just going to tell you my personal story with golf media. And it's pretty simple. The story goes like this. I live in Panama. I chose a cable TV company because they offered a really good deal on fast internet. And as part of that, they threw in cable TV, like for $4 extra a month. I don't watch TV, like regular broadcast TV, but you know, it's $4 a month. Now and again, I might want to flip on the news because stuff's happening. So $4 a month, great, thank you very much. Here's the next thing, right? So a few months later, they announce, I get an email, we've got Golf Channel. So I'm like, fucking great, I'd love to, I wonder how much it is just to add on the Golf Channel. So, I phone them up. Buenos dias, amigos. But I'll translate this conversation into English for you. I say, I just want to find out how much it is for the Golf Channel. And we go through the niceties of what account I've got. And they say, oh, you need to upgrade to the Super Gold Platinum Sports Package. I'm like, whatever, I don't give a shit, just tell me how much. They're like, that'll be an extra $40 a month. I'm like, I'm sorry, Captain, you misunderstood me. I don't want 44 extra channels. Like, and while we're at it, what I want, okay? So I want my fast internet, okay? And I want the news in English from any channel you want, preferably a British one. So let's say I want BBC News and I want the Golf Channel. Whatever other free channels you're gonna throw at me, you know, the basic package, that's fine. That's all I wanna pay for. Sorry, mister, cannot. And they wanted an extra $47 a month just for me to add on the Golf Channel. So I told them to shove that. Yeah, I told them to shove that. But they're the only company in my country that provide the Golf Channel legally. So I looked around at trying to subscribe, like PGA Tour Live I used to subscribe to, but then they fucked that up and I tried to resubscribe and I couldn't, it was too much work. What was much easier was to type in Golf Streams Live into Google and click on the top link and boom, there it was there for free. Am I proud of it? No, not really, I really tried to pay, but they made it too difficult. I'm happy to pay. I'm not gonna pay $40 a month to get one extra channel, fuck that. I've no idea how to pay for that golf online streaming, golf TV thing. Like I tried to, it went wrong. Like who's got to, like I'm not gonna go to huge effort to pay you money. Okay, make it easy for me, or I'm gonna see if I can get it for free. And if I can get it for free, easier than I can pay for it, you've missed out. That's why people used to pirate music 15 years ago, because it was easier than buying it through iTunes. Then Spotify came, now it's easier to pay for it than to pirate it. So they got the right idea. And hopefully TV, Golf TV, will catch up with that soon. It was something to do with, like, I was in the wrong country. Like, you know, you're not allowed to buy that from that country, because in 2019 we all give a shit about countries, don't we? My dog has gone nuts. Are you tired now, my love? She's just walking along, biting the lead, trying to stop me from walking. I've got the laziest dog ever. Look, we're only 36 minutes into this podcast. Yeah, I know. Should we go and get a drink? I'm going to take the dog to get a drink. Yeah, come on. Right. My dog's called Amber. She's slow as fuck. So, there's two things I change in golf. I make amateur golf 9 holes, and I make pro golf more entertaining to watch. I don't want to change the majors, the Masters, the British Open, and the American Open. I don't want to change them. I mean, I'd change the USPGA. Like, I'd put that back as match play. Or I'd put that in Phoenix and have it sponsored by Waste Management and give away a lot of free beer to people. Whatevs. You know, I'm pretty irreverent about golf, but something like, I'm a traditionalist, right? Really at heart, it's just the periphery of stuff that we can modernise. The things that they changed, you know, in the 70s, all these classic games like the Bob Hope, they weren't done to keep golf traditional. People hated them back in the day. They thought it was irreverent. It wasn't, it was just entertaining for folks. Letting golfers not play in shirts and ties. They thought it was irreverent. But it was just making it accessible. And we've lost that somewhere as a game. And we just changed shit on the periphery that's not important. Like, I don't even know what we changed to make golf accessible. Like, we make Hideki Matsuyama have a Twitter. I mean, do you know what I mean? It's shit like that. Yeah, it's great to be here at the Greater Greensboro Open. I'm going to go low for all the fans, yeah. He's from Sweden, Hideki, if you didn't know that. 4 days later, yeah, it was great, T19 here in Greater Greensboro Open. I went low, but I left a few out there. You know, it was a frustrating week, but I played well. Congratulations to Bronson Bogoon for winning by 9. Really, right? That's it. That's how golf's made itself accessible. Japanese-Swedish golfers. And then you've got the Ladies European Tour. Do fucking amazing stuff, right? Like, really fun stuff. Check out their social media. It's genuinely good. Tweet one of their players, they reply. Like, and the tweets from the players aren't like, yo, great Greensboro Open. They're like, my life sucks. It's just like this amazing tweet from one of this lady. Like, you'd never see a PGA Tour player. I think she'd had a shit round in the tournament. And her tweet was, dear life, please use lubricant next time. It was just amazing. It's so much more interesting when people are real and they haven't got agents or marketing committees. 34 minutes in, do you know, I had some other stuff to say. I know Sweden was in my mind, that's why I made the Swedish joke, because there's a great tour event, a European, Ladies European Tour combo hybrid. Utility iron event coming up, but I'll talk about that some other time. President's Cup, yeah, some news there. But you know, I've been walking about 45 minutes because I didn't hit record straight away. The dog's really pissed off with me because she doesn't like walking. I think I might buy a coffee for the walk home. So I'm about 20 paces from the best coffee shop in this entire country. So guess that's the Lord leading me. Oh, I love it when I use Christian stuff after swearing so much, because then people ask me why I do it and I get to tell them. And I tell them. Yeah. Isn't it great? Isn't life great? Isn't golf great? Played golf yesterday. I was awesome. I might tell you about it next time. But until that next time, goodbye.